Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. After a year-long public awareness campaign, New Hampshire's hands-free driving law is ready to go into effect in just over a week, banning the use of smartphones and other handheld devices while driving or stopped in traffic. There are ways that people can comply with the new law without giving up all technology, though. Here's Lieutenant Matt Shapiro, Special Service Commander for the New Hampshire State Police, on NHPR's The Exchange.
You could have a speaker box, which you might be able to get for like $80. The State Police issues Roadster 2 Bluetooth speaker boxes for any cruiser that doesn't have Bluetooth. You could use an over-the-ear piece, or you can even just have a cradle and use a smartphone like I have with my Android device. I use Google.
Chris Jones is the CEO of Speed of Sound. That's a company specializing in installing Bluetooth technology, one of those still permitted under the law. We asked him whether he's seeing a surge in business as the July 1st deadline quickly approaches.
Oh, absolutely. A night and day increase. You know, I went from doing, you know, 4 or 5 a month to doing, you know, 10 a week.
Wow, 10 a week. And over how long has that been ramping up?
I would say for about the last month and a half.
Now, what's the price range for Bluetooth technology, especially compared to maybe the cost of getting a ticket under the new hands-free law?
Sure. The price ranges from, you know, a basic system that integrates into the factory radio for about $249 up to about $500 if you had a higher-end vehicle that had an amplified audio system.
And I'm trying to compare that. Let's see. First offense for breaking the hands-free law is a $100 fine. Second offense, $250. Third offense within 2 years is a $500 fine. So my guess is that, of course, you selling them, you'd probably say that it was worth it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I mean, just to not get pulled over. I mean, what a hassle just getting pulled over.
What's the limit in terms of vehicles? You know, so obviously folks who have something that's fairly newer but doesn't have Bluetooth probably shouldn't be a problem. Is there a limit to how far back you can go in terms of year,
oh,
make,
no,
and model?
No, absolutely not. Because even if you, I mean, geez, even if you had a car that didn't have a radio, we have accessory speakers that we can install that will, similar to what we used to put in, you know, 30 years ago for a CB radio, that you could install that would give you that hands-free speaker so you could hear the person calling you in your vehicle, even again if you didn't have a car stereo in the car. So it really doesn't matter how old your vehicle is.
So you get like a VW bus and
I just sold it. I had a 1978 VW bus that actually had a Bluetooth radio in it.
Do you expect business to keep picking up, or do you think it's going to start dropping off once the July 1st deadline goes into effect?
I think it's going to pick up. I think what's going to happen is people are going to test the waters and see what happens. And they're going to either get a ticket or hear about a friend who got a ticket or a friend of a friend who got a ticket and like, whoa, okay, this is for real. I need to get something in my car so this doesn't happen to me.
Well, Chris Jones, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Chris Jones is CEO of Speed of Sound. It's a vehicle electronics business based in the New Hampshire Seacoast. While Chris's customers and other drivers who are rushing to install Bluetooth technology in their cars before the July 1st deadline will be in compliance with the hands-free law, the question remains, will they be any safer? David Strayer is a professor of cognition and neuroscience at the University of Utah, where he's also director of the Applied Cognition Lab, and he's done extensive research on distracted driving. David, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how do hands-free phone calls compare to holding something up to your ear in terms of distractibility and risk when you're on the road?
They're the same. There's really no safety benefit for one or the other. In both cases, your brain's distracted by that conversation.
So it has nothing to do with holding it up to your ear? It's just about the mental side of it?
Yeah, it's basically hands-free is not risk-free. And in both cases, the conversation is what we've learned to be the biggest problem. And it's something really unique about conversations where you're not in the same physical environment. So you don't see the impairments with two adults sitting in the car, but two people having that same conversation over a phone, it really kind of distracts the driver to really substantial amounts.
Now, one of the things that people have said about this New Hampshire law is that texting is very, very bad, and there's a sense that, you know, if you're going to hold a phone up to your ear, well, it's much easier to also, you know, slip into texting while driving. I guess it's a slippery slope with a phone. So what about texting? Is that quantifiably worse or the same as other types of distracted driving?
No, a texting driver is a far more dangerous driver on the roads. So they're much more likely to be involved in crashes, they're much more likely to fail to see things, swerve out of their lane, and so forth. So without a doubt, texting is worse. You're about 8 times more likely to be involved in a crash if you're texting, and that's well above what you see with someone who's intoxicated at a 0.08 blood alcohol level. So something to be concerned about for sure. But I'm not so sure about the if they were holding the phone, they might text. Turns out, actually, a lot of times you find people who are talkers and people who are texters. And I know when I'm trying to get a hold of my kids, if I call, they'll text back and say, "What's up?"
Right. So you think that maybe it's not so much the slippery slope argument?
No, I think that's probably not going to be that substantial, mainly just because generationally people tend to be texters or talkers, and they tend to prefer one or the other. We worry about the manual manipulation of the phone when you're dialing or texting or, you know, shuffling through some playlist on your phone. But when it comes to the mental or cognitive distractions, handheld and hands-free are precisely the same. People think that they're trying to be safer, but really there's no evidence to support that.
Since distracted driving has become such a publicly discussed problem, you know, mostly with the rise of cell phones and laws like the one that's about to be enacted here in New Hampshire, you know, I've always wondered about how these technologies compare to just ordinary distractions, eating while driving or having a couple of noisy kids in the back seat. Do you study any of those issues?
We've been looking at a lot of things, not necessarily the kids in the back seat, but we break down the kinds of things that distract a driver in terms of things that take their eyes or hands off the road. So texting is obviously a problem because you're looking at the text and you're manually entering something. And that's clearly a problem. You're going to run into something pretty soon if you keep doing that. And we also look at the mental distractions when you're talking. And what we found is that, the old things that have been around for a while, like listening to the radio or a book on tape or carrying on a conversation with a passenger, just really don't have a lot of risk associated with them. For teens, especially teens talking to other teens, that's not the case because teens will distract each other. That turns to be one of the biggest sources of crashes is another teen distracting that one teen while they're driving. But the old sources of things like eating and so forth, they're problematic, but the number of people who are doing it is far less than the exposure with the smartphone technology. If you have a car in Bluetooth, then all of a sudden that opens up all kinds of other things that your smartphone can do while you're driving. You know, you can post Facebook messages. You can, I just saw some application now where you can stream. This is a new technology that's being developed, but stream video chat on a heads-up display in front of the windshield while the driver's driving down the road.
That sounds like such a terrible idea.
It is. I mean, it's just absolutely, there's at this point, kind of quoting former NTSB Secretary Deborah Hersman, it's the Wild West out there. Anything goes at this point, and we've kind of lost a lot of common sense in terms of making driving the primary thing that a driver should do.
You know, that actually brings me to a point. We so often talk about dangers like these kinds as though it's a problem of awareness, that people just don't realize how dangerous it is, and if they did, they would stop. And I really wonder if that's true or if people are just too hooked to their devices to give them up, and whether or not we should worry less about awareness and more about, you know, in the case of laws like this, enforcement.
Well, I think that both are a problem. So especially with social media, we're seeing that there are certain kinds of patterns of behavior that look like addictive behavior. People sleep with their phone. They're looking at their phone 130 or 40 times. They feel disconnected if they don't have it on their body. They feel phantom vibrations even if the phone isn't with them. So there's all those signals that suggest that we may well be becoming addicted to some smartphone technology. But also, in terms of awareness, you know, for the most part, if you look at laws, for example, the laws being enacted July 1st in your state, what we're seeing is that about 75-80% of people support that law nationally, if you look at national surveys. And even 50% of people support an outright ban on everything. But we see that the usage rates are far higher than that. So you must have people who are supporting the laws. They're aware of those laws. They're aware of the impairments. But nonetheless, they do it anyhow. And when we've looked at that, what we find is that they want those laws to apply to somebody else, but not to them. It's the other guy that's the source of the problem, not them.
So what do you think about the sorts of hands-free laws, like the one about to go into effect, that don't ban Bluetooth technology? Is it still worth it?
You know, I don't think we really have a good sense. So if you look at kind of the safety community, like a National Safety Council or the NTSB, they actually recommend a complete ban. And they're concerned that what might happen is that you might give a false message, letting people think that if I switch to a Bluetooth system, it's safer. It's not any safer. If you use that Bluetooth system more than you would have with a regular handheld cell phone, then you may actually have a law that's counterproductive. So that's actually one of the concerns. If nothing else, realize that that Bluetooth call is no safer than a handheld cell phone call.
Well, David Strayer, thank you so much for setting us straight. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
David Strayer is a professor of cognition and neuroscience at the University of Utah. He's also director of the Applied Cognition Lab, and he's done extensive research on distracted driving. You can learn more at wordofmouthradio.org. Before I let you go, David, I wonder, do you think driverless cars are maybe going to be the thing that requires you to find a different focus for your research?
Well, those are really fascinating in and of themselves, right? Because that technology, it's going to be 20 or 30 years in the making, and we're expecting all kinds of unintended consequences where you put that automation in and then something happens that the engineers didn't plan for. In the meantime, what they're planning on is for drivers to have to watch the car to make sure it doesn't fail, kind of like watching your washing machine to make sure that it does the cycles properly. And I can't really imagine two people being happy with that.
So still plenty to work on.
Oh, yeah, it's a booming business, unfortunately. Distraction and autonomous vehicles and all those things are, it's an ever-changing and fascinating environment.
One of the studies performed at David Strayer's Applied Cognition Lab compared drivers by age. If you put a 20-year-old driver behind the wheel with a cell phone, Strayer said in a press release, their reaction times are the same as a 70-year-old driver who is not using a cell phone.